Trust me, this is no sweat. The worst case is just run me out of here, okay? Before we get started, I just want to make mention a progress report with the bathrooms. You could see we've added the mirrors up in the bathrooms upstairs here. Both bathrooms upstairs here are fully functioning, and the unisex bathroom downstairs is fully functioning. The ladies' room downstairs, things are just much more involved. I want to tell you, we have a few incredibly remarkable people at this church, okay? People who have logged not hours, but days, okay, trying to get things in order. If we had to pay people to come in and do the things that they're doing, it just would be thousands and thousands of dollars. So, you know who they are. They're members of the building team, and please be sure to give them their kudos, okay? Update on plans to increase the size of the congregation. What are the current two questions? Okay. Do I have some ideas to increase the size of the congregation? Yes. One of the things I've been discussing with Mary is next summer I would like to really do a Parents Day Out program at our church. I really think that there's a need. I really think that we would get kids to come and join. And I really think when younger families get an eyeball in terms of what's going on at our church and the family spirit that we share, that this is something that could be very real, okay? So I have done some research. The Methodist Church around the corner does Parents Day Out from September through May. They charge like $75 a day for the children that participate in that program. I also know from my experience as part of the Batavia Ministers Association that there are 4 days a year when school gets out early, and this represents a problem for families who are not equipped to have those kids come home at that time. So I know during summer, parents look to send children off to camp or whatever, but I really want to explore this as a possibility, okay? I think that it could be very, very meaningful. I really, really care about this family. And I know that so many of you are incredibly invested in this family as well. I am open to suggestions. But I'm going to throw some onus back on you in terms of growing this congregation. If you really think that it's terrific, why aren't you telling anybody about it? You know, why aren't you bringing a friend once in a while and just say, hey, there are things happening there. Not all of them are terrific, but what we share is incredible. And why don't you just come and get a feel, give it a couple of weeks and see what it feels like. I think that word of mouth is ultimately the best thing. And you could also promote our podcast. All of our Sunday talks now are on podcast. Rick does that. And all they have to do is log on to our website. If you have the podcast app on your phones, you could go into that, plug in Unity of Fox Valley, and you could tell friends, if you don't want to come on Sunday, at least give a listen here. You know, word of mouth is the best way that this is going to possibly happen. Okay? And I'm really trying, when I've met with some of the leadership of the church, I've really sent the message, when people walk in on Sunday, I really want them to come through the doors kind of saying, I wonder what's going to happen this week. Okay? I really am trying to eliminate complacency and trying to create newness, because I really just think that that's ultimately what's going to inspire people to come. But we could be giving away $100 bills on Sunday, and if nobody knows about it, you know. I also am looking for somebody to fulfill the role of a public relations person, all right? When we have something that goes on at the church, Kathleen sends out to recipients a list this long other Unity churches in the area, all of the local newspapers get a notice in terms of what's going on. We send things to like the Homestead and all that. I really think that a lot of that, when it happens, is what I was joking about when I threw Tom's question on the ground. Something comes into somebody's computer. Yeah, I'm busy. I don't have time to attend to that. I really am looking for a person that could go in and establish a face-to-face relationship with people. If anybody's interested in this, please come and see me. Okay? What are the current plans for the parking lot? Well, I don't know. If you look today, we patched a hole on Thursday. Okay? We have gotten estimates from the for the parking lot, the least expensive of which is $68,000, I think. That would pretty much not only deplete one full layer of reserves and partially for another one, okay? So I did some research with the people at Lowe's. They said this stuff that I put this down on Thursday just to see how it would work is terrific. They showed me areas in their parking lot that they used. It's a cold set material. We're going to try to do this, okay, and buy some time, a couple of years. I think anything that we're doing ought to give us probably 3 years, 4 years, okay, based on what they're saying, and we're going to go from there. When we're done, it might look like our parking lot has measles, but if it's effective and if it works, and we, okay, I'm just dealing with the reality of our financial situation. Ultimately, if you feel that we should be spending this money because that's a high priority thing, then we will do that. The board will be in touch with you about this, you know, probably later at the November meeting, which means it wouldn't happen until next year at this point, but that's what's happening with the parking lot. Ah, what is fear and where does it come from? I knew I should have left this thing over here. That question could be answered for 45 minutes, okay? On a biological level, it's a very healthy thing. It's that part of our reptile brain that says, uh-oh, we might be in trouble here, and we either have to fight or flight from this situation, okay? This is a classic case of too much of a good thing, though. If we're living our lives in fear all of the time, we're not going, we're not growing. We've entered into a kind of paralysis, in my opinion. There are all sorts of methods for dealing with fear. You could read about them in Psychology Today. You will hear all kinds of Unity speak. Ultimately, I believe that fear is buying into the separation between God and who and what we really are. And being unwilling to trust that inner light of the Christ that is in each and every one of us is really going to be the answer and resolve the situation. I really, really believe that ultimately there's so little to be afraid of. And, you know, the old line of there's nothing to fear but fear itself, I actually think is just so incredibly profound. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's my quick take on it. Woo. Please talk about how faith/law of attraction can impact the upcoming presidential election. That was you? No. I don't care who it was. Faith is the ability to visualize, to see the unseen, to recognize the unseen, notwithstanding evidence to the contrary. Okay? Faith is an active power that each of us really has. And it's sometimes really difficult to engage that power because we are afraid or we're in pain and lots of other things that are going on. Tying this to the presidential election and the law of attraction, especially the law of attraction. I really and truly believe in democracy. And I really truly believe that ultimately we get exactly what we ask for, regardless of whether or not we are deliberately asking for it or we ask for it by not asking for what we really would like to see happen. And I know that talking about faith, a lot of people have lost faith. This isn't just now. This is a virus that started to take seed decades ago, in my opinion, okay? But I don't care who your candidates of choice are. If you're not, at a minimum, voting, okay, how can you expect the law of attraction to set in, okay? And you have so many other resources at your disposal. Ultimately, we will experience, what we experience in this country precisely because we have attracted it, okay? So that's my take on that. Wow. Multiple questions. When are the bathrooms going to be done? I think I addressed that pretty much. What are your expectations from us as a congregation? I expect you to be present, okay? I am doing my best to try to be present to you in all situations, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's here on Sunday, whether you're complaining about why did you rearrange the chairs in the sanctuary, And not just brush those things off. I'm trying to be, really and truly there for you as much as I can. Presence is, was it Woody Allen that said 70% of life is just showing up? Okay. My expectations of you as a congregation is to show up, not just to fill the seats here on Sunday, but to be really present to one another, available to one another. And for the most part, you do an incredible job. What I expect from you individually and severally is also this. I'm here, and I hope I'm not sending off vibes to the contrary, that I'm unapproachable, saying that I'm unapproachable. If something is bugging you, I really would appreciate that if you came to me with that rather than sharing it with somebody else in the congregation, because then it grows and it's impossible to deal with. Okay? And ultimately, it's going to be to your own demise. Okay? Because that's how polarization starts, rather. Okay, so that's it in a nutshell. For the most part, I talk to people. You guys are incredibly beautiful. You have no idea how gorgeous you are. So just keep being who you are is really the ultimate answer to that question. What are your goals as a reverend for us as a community this next year? Wow, that's tough. I want to continue to empower you as a community. I want to empower you as individuals. I really want you to come to appreciate that the principles that we talk about in unity, that the principles work if you work the principles. I have other visions for the physical plant. And I don't want to take the lid off of all of those things. I'll be glad to share some of those with you if I can. I really want to grow the church. I really want to expand the roles of our leaders. When I met with staff members individually, I send that message to them as best I could. Don't settle in. Don't be complacent. As wonderful as you think it might be, or as much as you think it might suck, there's room to grow and to improve here. So I want us to think big. As Marianne Williams said, you don't do anybody any favors by playing small, whether it's within the walls of this church or what you're doing every day in your life. So my goal is to really have this try to take root in as many ways as possible. And I'm going to keep experimenting with stuff. I'm still going to be experimenting with the order of service here and what we're doing on Sundays. I get mixed signals. Some people say, I like this, don't change this. And some people say, oh my God, that's got to go. You know, we've had enough of that. And it's not going to please everybody. Okay? So one of the things I'm going to be preaching is patience and ongoing dialogue. This person wrote a book. Have you considered opening the front doors of the church on Sunday morning? Physically open them to allow the energy through this space. Have soft volume of position. Sorry, I can't read the writing. Music playing. Can you help me with this? I'm sorry. The back part there. We've not considered opening the doors. Okay, I just tell you that idea never occurred to me. There'll be a limited time climate-wise when that's a feasible possibility. But I think it's great. I like the symbolism of open doors. Okay? So whoever did this, if you would come talk to me, that would be incredible. We'll be glad to work this as much as we possibly can. Okay? Did an infinite loving God create a universe where suffering happening, or is it only an illusion of separation? Wow. I do believe that an infinite loving God created the universe. I also believe that an infinite loving God created each and every one of us. We're in an area of theology in which I have my own personal thing, which isn't exactly unity, to be upfront and fair with you, in that I think that infinite loving God is constantly evolving and is constantly moving. And I think that an infinite loving God in creating us did so with an element of faith and trust in us to participate in that ongoing process. Okay? So I think that the real answer to the question is there's an awful lot of onus upon us if we take seriously what we talk about, that we are made in that image and likeness of God. Okay? I don't think that God abandoned us. I don't think that God is in favor of suffering. On the contrary, I think that God is always about our highest and greatest good. Just as children that we may have created, we have those hopes and those dreams and that love that's extending for them. Okay? But it also involves giving them the tools so that at some point they can mature and become powerful forces of their own in this regard. So it's a tough philosophical question because it's awfully hard to explain some of the garbage that occurs in the world in which we live. And I think there's a practical aspect to the question. We could speculate about whether there's any validity in what I just shared, part of my own philosophy, or we could set our feet in motion and start to try to do something about it and ensure that the message of oneness is being communicated instead of separateness. Thank you for letting the youth come up and let us know what they are learning and doing. Hey, that's a no-brainer. I just think what goes on downstairs is incredibly important to this church. And I think that Mary and the sponsors who are participating in that are just doing an incredible job. And we need to be as supportive of that as possible, always. Okay, what are plans for increasing church attendance and getting new members? We've addressed that. It's obviously... By the way, there's a PS to this. I've seen enough in churches. Sometimes people think we want to grow. Okay, think that we want to grow numbers. I don't, very often, I interviewed for a job at Woodstock when it was open. And I was given the same question by that search team. If we hire you, what can you do to grow the church? And I turned it around on the search team and I said, there were four people on the phone with me. I said, you all love your community, right? Yeah. Why are you asking us that? I said, okay, from the four of you, think about it. Tell me when is the last time you invited somebody to come to church with you? Okay, and there was dead silence. They also did not do a second interview with me. Okay, but a lot of times when people ask the question or say that we want to grow the church, what they're really saying is we want to get rid of the financial burdens. Okay, because we get comfortable in our family. I witness here, when we get newcomers here, people for the first time, I witness a lot of people, not just me and not just the so-called leaders, but everybody getting up and trying to make those people feel as welcome as possible. It's great. By the way, we're in the process of improving our welcoming gift package. It's going to be significantly different before very long. We just have one more brochure to complete to go in there, but they will be given a real honest-to-goodness gift that hopefully they will take home and remind them of their experience here. Would the church be available for local Girl Scout groups to meet here? It would be a way to make a connection with the local community, especially if the cost is low. Of course the church would be open to this. The obvious question is, who's going to take care of it? Was that a volunteer? Okay. Come and talk to me. I'll be glad to learn what's involved. And I think that that would be terrific. By the way, somebody gave me an idea. There was a small church that, to grow their church, they decided that they were going to sponsor various youth teams, soccer teams or whatever. They were going to shell out the bucks to pay for soccer jerseys or whatever. Just like so, people who were not part of the church. They grew the church that way because parents said, what is this church that is doing this? And they began to investigate it. What keeps you up at night? Well, if you would talk to Susan, she'll tell you that on many nights, she'll say, good night. Good night. Good. Oh my God, you're asleep already? So not much. Would you consider bringing Kirk from Celebration Com for a parenting seminar to our church? Yeah, this is something we could talk about, Jen. So you got two things. Is being the guy what you expected? Well, if you had been here Thursday morning when I was lying on the bathroom floor downstairs trying to finagle the toilet along with Warren, no. And the stuff we've been trying to do with the little remodeling projects have eaten into time and things like that. I mentioned right after Jan left, I wanted to start a weekly just open discussion group. And I've not been able to get to some things that I really think need to be gotten to because there's just a more attention to detail that is having to be paid and watching budget items and all these kinds of things. So yes and no is the answer to the question. I will say this. I had an expectation that I would get a lot of love and support, and I am not disappointed there. Okay, that speaks, you know, to all of you, not to me. And so let me openly express gratitude and say thank you for that. What does unity mean to you? Wow. Unity has absolutely changed my life. When I first heard the unity message, it just really echoed and resonated in my heart with things that I always believed, and I didn't realize I had never been involved with New Thought, and I had never been involved with unity. I never knew that there was a group of people that felt and thought and wanted to explore things the way that I did. And I think to the extent that we really buy into the principles of unity, and what a powerful concept if you think about it. None of us can control what happens to us, the things that come at us every moment of our life. And one of the most fatiguing things is trying to do so. But we are in a 100% control of how we choose to think and react to whatever it is that happens to us, whether it's an incredible reason for celebrating or whether it's a real painful experience of one kind or another. We really get to choose. If our life has meaning, we really get to choose if we are living a life of happiness and fulfillment. That's what the unity message is all about to me. It would be great to continue our service to the community. Opportunities that include families would be great. Examples on back. The food bank, Feed My Starving Children, and garden cleanup days. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things I thought about is on a Saturday morning, we could do a pet blessing. I know that this church used to do that years ago. We have wonderful space to do that. And again, it comes down to how do we get the word out? And that's really significant. When I was at Oak Park, one congregant took it upon himself to organize the crop walk, okay, and just badgered people to participate in that thing and ended up getting about 70 people to do that in the Oak Park neighborhood. And the only mistake we made is we didn't wear any kind of signage or saying Unity of Oak Park. I know when I was here in the first go-around, we also explored participation in some of the events where you pay a few dollars and you have a booth open to you and a lot of people come through. Again, I really need some help here if people are interested in these areas. But these are great. And I know that our children went and participated in the Feed My Starving Children event a couple of months ago because Susan went along with Mary. And I don't know how many of our children showed up, how many of our youth showed up to participate in that. But there is a practical avenue. If we talk about supporting our kids downstairs, if we have an event like this, even if we don't have children in the program, how great would it be if a couple of bodies showed up and said, I'm here because you're important, and let's do this thing together, and let's have fun. What is another Bible story you have that you can bring fruit in? Well, let's see. The one that comes to mind is when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Don't think that would work. I'll give that some thought, Sammy. I will do some research, and I will give that some thought. Thank you for the question. hope to cope with major life changes when they are coming all at once. I don't know. My commute to the church is fairly long, so what I've been doing for the last 3 months is taking out audiobooks from the library and trying to make those commutes learning experiences. And one of the books I listened to was I'm losing the title, I apologize, but it dealt with stress. Okay, I think it was The Upside of Stress. It's a fascinating listen, and it's a fascinating read. And the author, and I can't remember her name either, she gave a TED talk on this topic, and it took off. And she made a very significant point that stress is only hurtful when you think that it's hurtful. That there's really an incredibly powerful upside to stress. So again, it's one of those shifts in thought that makes a difference. And I think it's particularly applicable to these times in our life when major life changes come. And you've heard Unity people speak to this. You've heard other ministers. You've heard Jan. You've heard me speak to it. Okay. Times of turmoil, times of trouble. What an incredible difference it makes if you regard those times as opportunities rather than something to have to suffer through and to deal with. In other words, taking a positive way of thinking about it, activating within you your own powers of creation in a way that could really make a difference in turning things around in your life. So, and ultimately, if you are really in a lot of pain and suffering and you don't know where to go because a lot of changes are happening in your life, for God's sake, talk to somebody. Okay? My door is open for that. If it's something that I deem to be beyond my scope, you'll hear it right away. But, you know, and we have this whole thing. Every Sunday, I invite people to pray with our prayer chaplain. It makes a difference. You really are not alone unless you choose to be alone. And call silent unity. Thank you. Excellent suggestion. Yeah. That's a powerful ministry, silent unity. I had to work it for 3 months as part of an internship when I was at school. So, like Ed McMahon would say, I hold the last question. How is it going so far as sole minister of our awesome church? I am really upset with Jan. No, I'm just kidding. It's good. I've already mentioned a lot of people have come to the front. Before this took place, I was expressing some fear, some trepidation, and people sent me a message of saying, why? We're here. We have your back. And a lot of people have really backed those words up with time and with kindness and with understanding and listening. I'll share with you, I was a little down about something this week. And somebody was here, and I needed somebody to talk to. And that person was here, stopped what he was doing, took a seat, and listened to me. And I'm really grateful for that. All in all, it's wonderful. My family, not just Susan, my daughters have expressed to me that they've seen, you know, something really different going on, you know, a positiveness that they were really glad to see and a level of happiness. It's given me a captive family to try to grow and express my love. Okay? So I really don't see myself as the, when you talk about the guy, as being Mr. Answer Man. But we're in this together, and I think that this is an opportunity not just to grow as a minister, but to grow as a person. I'll share with you, we're running late, this was the last question. I'll share with you quickly, I'm on the board of the directors for the Homeowners Association where I live, and we're interviewing new management teams to come in, and one guy made the statement, you know, because I said, how are you going to handle conflict? And he said, we are a family. So I went up to him afterwards and I said, you really made me nervous with that response because my family was incredibly dysfunctional. Okay. You know what? We are dysfunctional too. We have our individual personalities. We have our individual agendas, okay? Life in so many ways is dysfunctional. It just doesn't run smoothly. But the bottom line is, my family truly was dysfunctional. But the bottom line was, nobody messed with us as a family because whatever issues we may have had going on with one another, we were absolutely there and present to one another when somebody was hurting or in times of need. So, you know, God bless you, every single one of you. I'm humbled, you know, for the opportunity to be with you. And that's it. I will continue to give you periodic reports, as will the board going forward. We'll, you know, there's some decisions that we'll have to make going forward.